of things that have been sitting in the past that were treated as the crown jewels are now moved on systems towards the cloud. And then all of a sudden they are brought and getting access from the internet directly. And sometimes it's literally as BTP service, Fiori Launchpad, Zap Cloud Connector, and you are within the intranet, which in other environments would be like a big direct no-go.
Welcome to SAP Cybersecurity by NoMonkey, where we are tackling SAP security together, where we break down the complexities of SAP cybersecurity and make them real, relevant, and actionable. I'm your host, Waseem Ajarab from NoMonkey, and every episode, we try to explore the threats, innovations, and strategies shaping the future of SAP cybersecurity. Whether you're deep in those technical trenches or leading at the C-level, this is where we talk openly about what really takes to protect the systems that run your business. All right, let's dive in. Today, we have one of the, I would say, leading security researchers in SAP, a long-time SAP security professional. Fred, it's great to have you on the show and looking forward to our topic today. Before we look into that topic, before we summarize what we're going to discuss, and for our listeners out there who might not know you, who is Frederick, your journey in and out of SAP or in SAP and how you are evolving with that? Maybe a few areas from that aspect. Frederick, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. So my background is really offensive security. I started playing Capture the Flag like 20 years ago and then ended up in IT security consulting. Roughly 20 years of IT security and SAP security background. I wrote a book back then about SAP security. So that one, co-authored it with colleagues back then when I was working at Virtual Forge. I have been speaking at various conferences, 50 plus, Troopers, RSA, DSAG, and so on. I have discovered several zero-day vulnerabilities also within the SAP standard. 59, if you see that red button with the callback attack, I did that really Virtual Forge back then. And 4 years ago, I founded my own company. So I'm a co-founder together with my partner in crime, Jens Michel.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, Fred, or pleasure to have you. I've known you for some time now. I just want to touch base on the book that you have authored. Part of the stuff that we'll be speaking about is around offensive ABAP, I would say a small part, but not to extent. Back then, when you started or when you were going through this, let's say, offensive style, looking into different ABAP programs, did you already feel that SAP security was underestimated? And did that change over time, or how do you see it?
So you have to look at how the market behaved from a historic perspective, and still some people think about SAP security as just being roles and authorizations, and everyone is smiling about that, but you can still see that at all the engagements we mutually have. We had a huge mind shift in the scene when Microsoft basically changed how they treated security overall. And I would say in the when I started around 2006 with the IT security consulting and then putting the photos on SAP security, that was still in the early days. I wrote the book in 2009. Now, if you look at the SAP security patches and that big spike you see around 2010 or 2011, and maybe some of the older people like me remember that short year before Christmas, there was a huge amount of security patches being released. So back then, SAP also changed the way how they were treating SAP security from my own perspective. And since then, SAP has putting on more and more focus on that. And especially with the cloud, of course, security is a super duper important foundation for them to have the trust. So looking at that, in the early days, you found everything. 2008, we had the gateway vulnerability.
Oh, yes.
As an example, and we still have that up until today.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. For people, you've done research and you still do research a lot in your daily work as well. And for any researchers that really want to, let's say, tackle SAP as part of their research within cybersecurity or the different applications. How do you see it sometimes? How do security researchers outside the SAP world view it today? Because I've spoken to so many in different B-sides and different security conferences. This is not touched at all. Some of them are not even, like, they are afraid to touch it because of its criticality. They understand criticality, but they do not want to touch it. What's your point on that part when it comes to security researchers coming into this, let's say, testing SAP applications?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I would say you should categorize those different groups. There's a large group, of course, who you just stated, who say, okay, maybe I'm a pen test company. Maybe I'm just have the skill set to just use tools and do good reporting. Then there are companies out there who can actually do offensive stuff, write their own tools, find new vulnerabilities that the others are not able to catch, as an example. Out of these, there are people who say, nah, this looks like an ugly beast. I hate it. But nowadays, of course, with the shift towards cloud, and now you just web skills, it completely changes. But if you look at the old, in quotation marks, of course, old ABAP environment, then there are also people who every once in a while get interested and get also hooked towards the topic. And you have also seen new persons getting into the area. So it's not only the people who did the research like 10, 15, 20 years ago. There are new persons who are actively contributing, who are doing great research nowadays. And those are also the ones who are ambitious enough to deal with that, let's say, beast of complexity, with the huge challenge, of course, that you somehow also need to get access. I mean, the learning curve is there. You don't start just from scratch with a NetWeaver trial system, and then in 5 minutes, you understand the topics like the new web applications.
I mean, I could think of my journey going into the Japanese world. It was interesting, to say the least. Sometimes it was not fun, but it's always, I would say, in a nice word, put it, exciting, because at some point, the vulnerabilities that have been found by you, by other researchers we had on this episodes or on the podcast, you still find them. So that's something that might tell us that, all right, what's happening there? But I do want to touch base on an important part you said around SAP security patches. And I want to move 20 years to now and looking at this recent SAP security patch day. So there was one last this week on Tuesday. With this SAP security patch days, or at least within this year, are you seeing a shift in the type of vulnerabilities researchers or maybe attackers are targeting when it comes to SAP systems?
I mean, to be fair, you have to look at the entire time. And in the early days, there were like a lot of, let's say, missing authorization checks. You still find these. You still find missing authorization checks. I remember that one of the vulnerabilities that were identified at VirtualForge was later on named as a missing authorization check. This was related to the SE30, and it contained an ABAP command injection, was rated like CVS 6.0 as an example. And we just recently had a similar situation where the colleagues from SmarterSec, as an example, found a vulnerability that was then rated with a CVS of 2.0 and also had command injection, which is sometimes surprising. Technically, of course, there is a shift. We have new classes of vulnerabilities. Everything related to the deserialization we had like 2 years ago, a lot of good research related to the RFC protocol, where we thought like 5 years ago, when Martin Gajot did the research reverse engineering, a lot of the protocols with the tools that you can still download for as open source. But no, there was still more content to be found. And from that perspective, over the time, yes, there's for sure a shift that we can see. And I think one of the big questions that came up is everything around this beautiful report, RSBDC OS 0, that is now by everyone to execute operating system commands. There will be a lot of people who will complain that now...
Especially SAP basis.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar, you can use this repo to execute basically arbitrary operating system commands. But if you're on that level with the permissions that are assigned to your user, technically there are other ways how you can achieve the same things. There are, let's just say, other ways. We don't want to go here into the full details how you can still execute operating system commands. And with all the fun AI stuff, it's super easy to
Absolutely. Automate. So you touched base on this OS command report specifically around also with the recent SAP security notes. This is now going to be removed. One question, actually, you said it. I just want to stress it more. Does it actually solve the problem when it comes to, you know, finding ways to interact with the OS from that perspective? Or at least in creating, not creating, but putting some OS commands on your operating system to do certain attack vectors. Does it solve the problem?
Well, it reduces the attack surface, to be fair. But it does not solve the problem itself. And there are enough other ways how you could, as I mentioned earlier on, how you could still execute that. Nevertheless, there is, I mean, everyone is talking about secure default. In the past, I somehow injected suggestions, what I would like to see. And then later on, sometimes people, maybe some colleagues from SAP are listening to this, make the changes internally. So SPTH, as an example, super technical, but this is about file system security and having the ability whether you can overwrite certain files or not, is something that I foresee as similar relevant as executing operating system commands. Because technically, everyone who can upload files to the application server, think about in a PCE environment, you should not be able to do that. The application server and the operating system, this is with SAP normally. But, you know, you can overwrite SAP binaries with all the implications, and all of a sudden you can execute operating system commands. There are a lot of binaries that are being executed by certain transactions through the kernel in the background. So you can easily attach to those and then still execute operating system commands. And just by having the possibility to upload a file, you could exploit that. And yeah, this is related to, in the end, users, permissions, authorizations. And on kernel level, you can restrict that. This is available. I mean, even in 2009, this was available when we were writing. But that is table SPTH. And if you look into in your system and you just see five entries, you have not maintained that and requires a dedicated project to get it up and running. Once you have done that, all the pen testers will also have a significant harder time to compromise the system.
I do agree on that. I mean, with some of the research we are trying to do and we're doing, we see that once these are actually there. You said it, attack vectors are reduced in certain elements when it comes to that. Well, let me take the conversation around the operating system at least, because as you see, as we see, that there is a huge separation, I would say, between the SAP application and the operating system in terms of security. So on the OS itself, you don't see those hardening controls that are usually supposed to be there if it wasn't an SAP system. Now, is this, a few questions pop up in my mind. One, why is this treated the way it is, where security is not hardened properly on an operating system? Does it have to do with how SAP runs, maybe? Because I'm pretty sure that for outside of the Japanese world, for people who harden operating system, they would say, they would think that they might stop certain processes, stop certain areas from running. What are your thoughts around this area coming from the operating system side?
Well, I think that's a tricky one, to be honest, because to be fair, the infrastructure teams, especially in the larger organizations, somehow to a certain degree know how to secure the environment. It is the challenge that this beast of an SAP system provides its own complexity and contains more code than the actual operating system. So securing both worlds is a challenge. And there are still, let's say, certain things that once you are on operating system level, you can nowadays still use. So simple example is the gateway vulnerability. That was never, from my personal perspective, completely patched. It's just reduced from remote exploitation towards local exploitation. So that means everyone who has access on operating system level, which, by the way, no one should have access on operating system level, but if you have access, you can still use that. And even as a guest user, you would be technically able, due to the way how the default configuration is set up at 99% of the environments, just the personal estimations, could be less, of course. But you could still execute operating system commands with sitadm, and then you will find on the internet enough information that this basically translates towards. You can make arbitrary modifications, and you can read arbitrary data from the database, implicating that you can also create users, assign them the master authorization, SAPR, so you're the super administrator within the system, and then you can do whatever you want. So that is one challenge. I said that to a certain degree. I see that, for example, in past episodes, you have been talking of security operation centers. Well, you would see that syslog, standard logs, are being integrated while the application level is not integrated. And that already gives kind of like an indication that many teams are at least looking in a certain way into the SAP environment. But then the question is, how do you integrate it? And how do you manage it? Do you have jump servers? Big questions. I still come around SAP systems that have no firewall in front of them, even at large organizations where we would say perimeter security is out of the 90s. No, this is still present with all the implications it brings, because one misconfiguration then in the end, even in a non-SAP service, could endanger the entire SAP application. So that is certainly a challenge. And then in the same way, I think in the past 2 weeks, we have seen an insane amount of new exploitation attempts due to, let's say, everything around DirtyFrag and the possibility that you local privilege escalations in a way that is super reliable. And that, of course, itself is also another attack vector, because if you become root on an SAP system, you are, of course, also sitadm, and subsequently, you can easily compromise the system, backdoor it, and do whatever you want with the system.
Absolutely. I mean, becoming a root on the operating system, always think about it from always think about different attack vectors, and especially when we are talking about, I don't want to extend to the cloud right now, which I would like to come near, because we are talking about older stuff or that are still there. Some are being closed down. I think operating system is underestimated when it comes to attack vectors or when it comes to not hardening it. With that being said, and you did mention around a secure default and that idea that is being heavily addressed and heavily communicated out there. Going into secure architecture, going into BTP, at least to touch base on that. Right now with BTP, assuming that security is automatically improved, and this is a question I would like to put there, how has BTP with RISE, with your on-premise environment, so I'm connecting all of these different environments, changed that enterprise attack surface from your perspective?
Oh, I think we can talk several hours about
this topic.
That is a challenge. But again, let's maybe split that question up into a different area. Thinking about smaller companies, mid-sized companies, where there's one SAP basis guy, two, maybe three guys managing 5, 10, sometimes even 15 different SAP production lines, consisting over 45. You can already imagine what's the implication.
Absolutely.
With business having new demands, new functionality, SAP throwing so much new functionality on the market that you can't even survive the demand by your own business in terms of new features and functionality. In those areas, for sure, there's a significant increase if you go towards the SAP cloud. Think about the RISE construct. I don't want to discuss on anything related to the fees that it implies. That's a totally different story. That's SAP to decide with the client on what they negotiate. But if you go to the larger companies, I think there's a mixture. There are some companies who over the past years have matured towards an operational excellence where I can say, this is beyond what SAP today is offering in certain areas. There are, of course, other clients who are less mature, and then it can be a significant boost. But in the same way, once you go towards the cloud, It is not about just saying, okay, now SAP is taking care of that. You know how many clients misunderstand the shared security responsibility model.
Absolutely.
And in the same way, you know how many clients actually negotiate security into their RISE contract or whatever the future BTP naming convention will be. And then, of course, everyone wants to save money. And where do you save money? You stop with the security things and, yeah, one gets to another. In the same way, if we look at the architecture overall, there's also a mindset shift from an architecture point of view that you have to take into account. In the former world, everything was kind of on-premise. You would set up a DMZ. You would have external connections going through your DMZ, maybe towards your SAP system. Maybe your SAP system, in some cases, was even in a dedicated DMZ. You would have PIPO infrastructure, exchange infrastructure, all gone. And nowadays, you have just everything moved towards the cloud. You have the BTP services, you have BTP sub-accounts, you have services where businesses literally just subscribe and create some sort of shadow IT. You have challenges that you get everything beneath one contract because sometimes there are multiple contracts. You don't have the full overview on the entire landscape. And then persons are relying that this cloud level is basically the new security level itself, while they are still responsible on managing the access and providing and configuring to a certain degree the attack surface. So things that have been sitting in the past that were treated as the crown jewels are now moved on systems towards the cloud. And then all of a sudden they are brought and getting access from the internet directly. And sometimes it's literally as BTP service, Fiori Launchpad, Zap Cloud Connector, and you are within the intranet, which in other environments would be like a big direct no-go.
Absolutely.
And then in the same way, thinking about the announcements we just recently, Sapphire, let's say, going towards the autonomous enterprise business data cloud, putting everything into one huge bucket, then throwing in huge agents, great idea. Just taking and tackling the security in that environment will assure that we still have enough work for the next 10, 15 years, and let's see what happens.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I like the way BTP, you said that BTP is becoming this new, or is the new demilitarized zone for SAP landscapes. Absolutely. And one thing that I came across, which was for me quite interesting, with all of these services that you can add and remove, and I think there was a policy recently also released, which is APIs now around DMZ. I do want to touch bases a little bit on these APIs. Your thoughts on what can go wrong when it comes to the, at least the integration suite. So it's becoming this kind of API management. If you think of Azure, if you think of AWS, they had this kind of API management where they're connecting different systems with different connectors. You're introducing new areas. Quite nice for a business process. You know, there's a lot of benefits to it. I 100% agree with that. So from your perspective around integration suite / the API management, how does that increase, decrease? And this is specifically putting it into context around this shared security responsibility model. Because some customers, some people that we talk to, there is this huge gap that do not understand this shared responsibility model. And specifically, when it comes to this area, regardless of the other areas that are involved, how do you see it? How do you see this API management, the integration suite? Who needs to take care of what from that perspective?
That is, again, a question we can talk about kind of like 2 hours. But looking at the integration suite, I'm personally a big fan of having one central solution where you can manage your B2B communication. You mentioned API management. The question is whether persons are using it, whether to which degree then you have good possibilities to do your own governance, as an example. I have seen client applications, well, let's say a client environment where they have set up 1,000+ interfaces in integration suite. That is great, but the challenge is doing then the governance. because with the integration suite, of course, you can also create your own scripts, as an example. Those run in a sandbox environment. Let's put DirtyFrag aside for a second. But whomever is developer in that, let's say, system and has the possibility to manage one of these scripts can potentially endanger the entire application. Because from an offensive point of view, you have lots of possibilities with all the potential that you get through automation by using internal and public available APIs. Well, we recently had the announcement around the API usage, but nevertheless, just with the official APIs, you can read credentials, as an example, and then all of a sudden in integration suite, it can be literally as easy as you develop a script, and whenever someone sends data, you copy the data somewhere else, and then you forward it internally. And it requires someone to actually review that script. Is there static code analysis? No, there isn't. Partially limited. And if you want to automate that on your side, you have to develop your own stuff. And then we are again at the discussion on whether this is now legal or not, looking at the new, let's say, policy. Well, I guess it's focused more in a different direction. But if you do that one time in a security assessment, that's one topic. Again, I'm not recommending to do that in any way because it seems to be illegal.
Well, I think somebody has to try it and see what it comes out. But we'll see how it goes.
Technically, let's say in the past, before this announcement was, it is an opportunity.
Absolutely.
Where you can, in a simple way, if you have to do your research, you can basically export using vibe coding even nowadays. You can write your own scripts, get everything into text files, and then you can still work in the old-fashioned way, or you use AI to analyze the stuff. And you will find simple things like HTTP connections.
Exactly.
It is shown in integration suite. So SAP is also doing their stuff to highlight this towards developers. For example, you have this exclamation mark danger symbol that shows you, oh, there's unencrypted communication. But if you have 1,000 interfaces, you have external developers, some manager yelling it needs to work, and then you have an endpoint that's unencrypted that you cannot easily change, guess what happens? You have unencrypted communication. And then it's a question on how is the authentication done and all these kind of things. A lot of
definitely
questions that pop up in this scenario.
No,
but
I
like the integration suite.
Yeah, I do as well. I mean, it does provide a lot of information. It does provide a lot of opportunities also for other than the business processes, which is the main area that is connected there, a lot of opportunities for companies to improve certain aspects within their processes that are integrated there, which brings me to conclude this a little bit.
Maybe one quick remark related to that, because there's one factor that I also like. The integration suite itself is tremendously easier to understand than the former, let's say, exchange infrastructure. So only from that perspective, it is already at a...
No, I can agree with that. I mean, it does provide a lot of good functionalities if it's properly protected, as you say, which I want to wrap up this specific area and use this. I don't think now it's anymore a buzzword, but this zero trust aspect of security or the zero trust methodology, let's say. Now, it's always been said that it looks, sounds great on slides. It looks great when somebody's explaining it from outside an SAP perspective. But how and where do organizations struggle when implementing zero trust in SAP environments, considering all of these different environments that we just spoke about?
I think the key question here in order to achieve zero trust is how do you do your identity management? And there are a zillion of different options, but you have IIS, you have IAG as an example. You can connect this now towards Intra. You can have your own identity.
Bring your own identity, yeah.
Throwing in just those four buzzwords, I may have lost a lot of the listeners. But in the same way, there is a challenge in understanding all the different nuances about those buzzwords. And then someone is deciding, okay, we need to do this and that. And maybe someone from management saw some beautiful slides advertising a certain scenario going for that. Nowadays, I think the challenge is that you have to look at the identity provisioning from an entire company perspective, and not only from the SAP environment. SAP, of course, historically is focused in providing a great solution for everything around SAP. But thinking about having an IDP, my personal opinion is we need to think about beyond SAP and then have an external IDP. And then we can still integrate using all the SAP tools. But that would be one challenge. And that is also a foundation towards everything around the zero trust and ensuring that there's authentication. And then if you have many, many, many sub-accounts in the BTP environment, you also need to think about how you can, in an automated manner, find a good way to set up a governance that gives you the necessary controls to ensure that what you postulate in terms of what is required related to authentication is really also enforced. Sometimes you have central places where you can enforce that, like multi-factor authentication. But yet again, then there are different additional services, PaaS environments where persons built their own things, let's just say it in that way. And then all of a sudden, it goes banana.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the integration alone with Microsoft opens up amazing amount of, from my attack vectors that you look into. It does close a lot, but at the same time, it provides this aspect of, okay, now SAP, what it was thought about, this isolation, now I'm utilizing the double quotes, the isolation that it was or thought it was there, and it was never there, but at least the isolation can pretty much be seen that the integration to different hyperscalers, integrations to different Microsoft, I would say, applications and utilities and tools are then expanding this kind of attack vector.
So related to that, maybe a quick remark, because thinking about Entra ID and thinking about what's going on in the world, thinking about new European requirements in certain areas, sovereign cloud, as an example, I would put out the question, who is able to substitute Entra within a week with your own solution, whatever that is, if someone decides on to use American services in a hostile way? I'm not saying someone is doing that, but with the discussions that we had in the past, it does not seem not possible anymore. Let's say it in that way, in a gentle way. So theoretically, to a certain degree, it might have been that some persons threatened certain activity. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I think that that's a huge challenge. Talking about zero trust and thinking about what happens if, for whatever reason, Entra is not there.
Yeah, I mean, it does make identity and governance harder everywhere, that sovereign cloud requirements that are coming out.
But to be fair, I have seen also installations that already work. And from a historic perspective, where clients said, okay, we rely on Entra, but we can pull a switch and within a week, there's no issue and we can run locally because it's being replicated, the entire identity provision.
Do you see that better handled or addressed with small to medium organizations or even larger enterprises we're talking here?
No, I see this only being handled if politics and government are making a requirement and someone is personally hanged if they do not fulfill that and all of a sudden it becomes priority one. Only in those cases, I think. But I have a small view. I don't see the entire SAP market, to be fair. The world is super large, so there may be other regions where things are different. But in my tiny SAP security space, where I have some sort of view into various organizations, I can tell this is...
All right. Makes sense.
What's your opinion on that?
From a perspective of how it gets difficult, I mean...
No, have you seen actually any client being able to get rid of Entra in a short amount of time?
Not easily, no. There has the discussions that go on with multiple and like other consulting companies and advisors sitting on a table with the business leaders and product owners. It goes up to 6-8 months with no outcome that can happen. 100%. This is
and no business will survive that.
No.
Talking about zero trust.
Yeah. I mean, it's not an easy conversation to have, but also at the same time necessary to some extent. But I do agree that regardless of the actual process, I think there needs to start somewhere. Now, depending on how that organization goes. But I think this is a huge topic that I would like to put on the side to go into some offensive discussions. And I would like you mentioned around AI, and I had on the podcast, and we're utilizing now how, and we are hearing and doing and looking into how AI makes a lot of the stuff we used to do a lot faster, a lot easier. So from an offensive security, from an offensive part, when it comes to LLMs, when it comes to AI, and it definitely is changing offensive security quite fast, how much easier does currently AI make exploiting SAP environments, if you think about on-premise, whether or BTP, whatever it is, for someone with the right background, how easy it is, how much easier does AI make that?
So I think AI has the super duper huge advantage of providing scalability. Scalability in a way how it was not imagined before. You had to know a lot of different things in order to find right areas for vulnerability, then do the homework, do the research. And nowadays, certain activities, things like I can ask the LLM, hey, generate me an JCO application that calls a certain RFC function model, just as an entry point. And of course, I need to provide the context. I need to set it in the right way. I need to do a little bit of research because, to be fair, if I look at the LLMs outside of Joule, they understand ABAP, they can write ABAP, they can create ABAP, but that does not necessarily mean they understand all the hierarchies internally. They think something is a function module, which is a class or a method, and mix up all the things all the time. But if you want to do exploration, reconnaissance, you can super easy automate things. You can get the information. You get also, if you do research in certain areas, you can ask for certain information. Hey, where do I find XYZ? It still ends up in certain cases that you can throw up 75% of the information. But nevertheless, the 25% are the interesting part. And you made the, or you said a prerequisite is that the person has a deep knowledge. So that tremendously helps then automating certain activities. And it's also very easy to find new vulnerabilities inside an SAP system, to be honest, because you can now automate things that required a certain level of motivation by certain persons. And I think DirtyFrag and everything around it, making it so efficient and reliable, is also partly just possible due to the...
No, I can see that and I agree with that. I mean, we see how that is even evolving. With that being said, you did mention about ABAP and writing code, at least. Regardless of Joule, I would want to come back to Joule a little bit because a lot of discussions there. Can or are, I mean, I would assume because if an offensive practitioner is utilizing AI to audit code faster, I would assume that attackers are utilizing the same thing, right? And a question, and I think it's by itself, this question can already be answered. Are organizations able to actually mitigate or patch vulnerabilities? Specifically now, I'm talking about third-party vulnerabilities and custom code faster than this attacker or this offensive auditor that can provide you with a quick solution or a quick exploit to a certain ABAP code. Can vulnerabilities patch in that fast manner?
So I think in general, the LLMs tremendously help. And with the possibilities that they provide, yes, you can fasten that process for sure. Should that be priority number one? To be fair, there are a lot of people pushing towards, hey, you need to look into the custom code. And I've been doing that in the past as part of my evangelizing as well. But if you haven't done your homework in the infrastructure, on the configuration, in the patch management, where you can then get from zero to hero super easy, and you miss CVS 10.0 configuration items, then I don't know whether it's really necessary to already look on the other code. If you are on that level where you have mastered the other areas, you have set up a central governance, you have a central solution, there are various third-party solutions out there. Maybe you're using Solution Manager, maybe you are using Cloud LM, maybe you have built your own stuff in certain areas because there are also limitations. Then you're on a different level, and then it's perfectly fair to also look at the ABAP code. But in the same way, we can see that a lot of organizations are still struggling with moving towards S/4HANA. Not everyone has migrated. They have the programs ahead of them. And you and I both know how much security is an important topic. So one of the easy ways of getting rid of old ABAP vulnerabilities is do not migrate shitty code that's like 20 years ago. And rather think about using the new possibilities. And there are a lot of smart developers also out there combining MCP, using that opportunity to also get rid of these old classical fashion developed ABAP reports and migrating them towards RUP and putting them into the new context, which totally makes sense. And if that is supported and way more efficient, and then the clear answer is yes, of course, it can be sped up significantly.
Well, a few points around ABAP as you are mentioning it, and you are the right person when it comes to ABAP. People often think, and well, I would say not in terms of consultants, more to or the security community of SAP, more towards application owners or service owner, or sometimes to some extent SAP basis. People often think of ABAP as a business logic and not an offensive weapon. How can standard ABAP functionality be abused? In some introductory to that, before I continue with our offensive AI security.
First of all, of course, ABAP is a programming language. And if you have the possibility to write your own ABAP code, you have full control over the SAP system because the majority of code inside the SAP system runs in ABAP. So that implies and means you can execute operating system commands. You get full access to the database, reading and writing. You can overwrite any data. Again, you can create new users. You can modify things. You can modify the SAP standard. It's not required to have a modification key. If you know what you're doing, you can use ABAP and basically change the behavior of the entire system. So once you're on that level, you have unlocked the way to, let's say, the kingdom, and you can do whatever you want. There are different ways. I mentioned execution of ABAP, ABAP command injections, execution of operating system commands. You can also overwrite files. Directory traversal is a topic as an example. Directory traversal itself, so the open data set statements as an example, are also an input vector for executing operating system commands because there's this sneaky filter option, not a lot of people are aware of. I'm not saying that you will find this being exploitable, but in terms of using it as an offensive tool, very interesting because it is a sneaky way to execute operating system commands. And maybe that's also a way how certain deficits in that area might be optimized in the future, as we are now on high level talking about it, not going into the details. What are the No, I don't want to release any exploits or things like that, but with the filter option, and it has been sufficiently documented, you can look at help.sap.com. You can execute operating system commands, and these will be executed as sitADM, full stop. So if you can write your own ABAP code, that is another way how you can execute operating. And it'll be also used by the pen testers. So if you're now limited with this RSBDC OS 0 as an example, and you are able to create your own ABAP and execute it, that's important, then that's also an option. option.
No, I agree. And moving from the ABAP, now also ABAP as an environment is introduced or is in BTP. It's not introduced, it's already there. Exactly. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, first of all. And first of all, these classic vulnerabilities, I remember also from previous conversations I had with you, whether it's directory traversal, command injection, you name it, these are still existing to this day. I mean, I don't know if it is the problem of static code scans that happening, creating this kind of false sense of confidence that an ABAP or a custom code is quite okay. But regardless of that conversation, how do you see that changing in the ABAP environment within a sub account, for instance?
So we need to differentiate there a little bit, because if you go for the site by site extension as an example, you have limited attack surface. So
okay.
They not allow you to execute operating system commands. You
absolutely have your own, not. Yeah.
You cannot access the file system. And it does not make sense to allow that in a cloud environment. Nevertheless, you said BTP, and as part of that, we also talk about RISE, and all of a sudden we are kind of more like in this formerly private cloud scenario. And then you are in the end, more or less in an infrastructure as a service scenario where SAP is taking care of client 000. And in all the other clients, you can still whatever do what you want. And you can also use still those ABAP commands to do dirty stuff. Whether you are allowed to do that, that's a different story. But technically, I guess you have also seen that even though everyone is saying, go for greenfield, we have a lot of brownfield. And then all of a sudden, there is sometimes something that I would consider more to be a lift and shift kind of scenario. So a lot of dirty stuff gets also migrated towards the cloud. And it will take some years until this is. And I'm not saying this is now on SAP. Don't get me wrong. It's just. It has been developed at SAP customers for ages, and then no one is putting the money on the table to get rid of the technique.
Yeah. Well, we got sidetracked by lovely ABAP. Maybe go back a little bit, and I did want to come back to Joule a little bit. Now, as it is becoming more and more deeply integrated into workflows, I was reading today or yesterday around the integration with N8N. What new risks would organizations worry, or what worries you in terms of these new integrations with Joule, with going into these different workflows?
Well, I would not say that this is not directly Joule related. This is more about everyone understanding the limitations of LLMs. And they can help you, they can scale. But I mean, if you take LLMs to stop reading a book, and then you use the LLM to just get a summary, and you rely on that summary, and you unlearn your ability to read a book in a scientific way, then this will have implications. Now, if we go towards Joule becomes the central user interface in the autonomous enterprise, and knowing that sometimes the same LLM queries return different results, I foresee certain challenges, no matter how SAP secures the environment beneath it. But just from a pure functional perspective, there will be challenges ahead of us. And in the same way, unfortunately, we have also seen in the past that there may have been a case where a certain LLM was vulnerable, and then there was some prompt injection, and potentially someone could read things. Maybe it was just a security researcher, but those vulnerabilities exist. And with the LLMs helping you to do more offensive stuff, to automate things, to fuzz protocols, to fuzz prompts, to even let LLMs talk to other LLMs to a certain degree, there is a completely new challenge ahead of us in terms of how to secure those environments.
I would even go an agent does a change or introducing that, I think there's a lot of benefits there. And to some extent, security is there and still needs to be, I would say, mature from that perspective. But there is a lot of things to do from that perspective, 100%. And
monitoring is a great example.
Monitoring.
Because, sorry to interrupt you, but I like how you also approach the SOC topic. So one of the questions is, hey, can we have all Jewel queries somewhere centrally logged?
Exactly.
Can we analyze that? Because if something goes crazy, we need to understand maybe SAP internally can do that. So there are a lot of questions also from an architecture perspective that needs to be taken into account.
Yeah, I think with also this part of monitoring, a lot of limitations currently exist, but I do agree that it is something that I like to always tackle rather than, I mean, I look at it from an offensive perspective and then directly, okay, how can I see what I'm doing or what you are doing in a system coming from that offensive mindset, right? And I want, before we start closing out and bringing the entire picture, we went from the old ways, but still there. And then we went into this new infrastructure with BTP, with RISE, how AI is supporting both, I would say, offensive and defensive, whether it is an attacker perspective or from a defensive state, like with AI introducing a lot of areas to improve threat detection, but maybe from your years of experience and still going on strong with the SAP areas, if organizations, considering what we have spoken about, if organizations want to mature SAP security over the next few years, where should they start?
I think, again, we have a question where we can have an entire podcast just about that single question. It depends on the maturity of the organization. There are organizations who are on an ISO 27001 maturity level between one and two, and then it's a completely different story what you need to do while you are really at the top of the market. So I think that is a huge challenge. One of the fundamental things in general to understand is that from a historic perspective, let's think about the good old security patching, that security patches have been always downwards compatible. So that means in many cases, you have to do manual adoptions, especially with the critical nodes where you have to do a restart, you have to change a certain parameter, transaction SACF. Heard about that? That's a good example because a lot of persons are not aware that you need to enable certain scenarios in an SAP system. In S/4HANA, this is now activated by default. But if, as an example, SAP forgets in a certain remote enabled function, an authorization check, they are going to release an update with the security patch, but the authorization check is in many cases not enforced until you enable the scenario, because otherwise it could be that the security patch would break with business processes. All of a sudden, background postings are not running anymore, to just name one example. And that is for sure a challenge. I think governance is a huge topic. Having governance in on-premise environment, having governance in the cloud environment, in the on-premise environment, there's a lot of stuff you can do. In the cloud environment, there are some things that are being advertised in different ways, but in the same way, SAP is not offering APIs for everything you would technically need to have my personal perceived level of a good BTP governance level. Then in the same way, going into logging and being able to understand what's going on in the systems. Looking at the logs, you quite often see SAP internal IP addresses 10.0 or something rather than the true source IP, which is a challenge in itself to then understand the entire data flow on even on network level. And so having a good SOC visibility for sure is a mandatory topic also within this tool now getting already being enforced.
Already. Absolutely.
Depending on in which country you are, of course, but on European level, we have that already enforced. And having visibility on the application level, both in the on-premise environment and within the cloud, related to the SAP security logs and the different flavors, networks, network logs, and so on, is super crucial because no matter what you do, systems can still break. An attacker can find a way in. It could be even an internal one, there have been multiple cases where in the past admins went crazy and on their last day they started changing keys and then you need to be able to pull the forensic evidence and create that.
Absolutely.
In a reliable way. And that won't work if you don't have the necessary.
Yeah, I like the visibility part. Like, I'd like to know what is happening. I like to see what happened and so on. So my final question to you, and to summarize our conversation, which I gladly enjoyed. If attackers continue, and this is not as an if, but attackers are going to continue to evolve faster than SAP security programs, what mindset shift do organizations need right now? A few sentences or a sentence from that perspective.
I think the general awareness on security and using security as a driver in certain cases. So I know there's a huge discussion always on the topic of return on security and investment, because you spend a certain amount of money and then you reduce an arbitrary risk of getting compromised. You need to find ways where your security programs are sometimes also improving the ROI of the company. For example, single sign-on, super simple example. But in the same way, central logging, you could use that not only from a way to have the visibility in the SOC, but also the admins tremendously have an advantage if all of a sudden there is, I don't know, a standard third level support question, whether there is an issue in one of the systems, you can pull up the logs, you can easily see, hey, that's happening in multiple systems. Now I can easily fix this before someone else is noticing that. For me, also as a security architect, it is always about looking to the left and right,
yeah,
getting away from that fear-mongering and finding ways. I personally like to say I'm a lazy person. So if I can put my feet on the desk, because everything is kind of automated, I don't want to over-engineer this. I know I'm German, but let's just say your fundamentals are automated and LLMs tremendously help you doing that. When you have automated the stuff, then you also understand how applications, how your environment is working. We still see systems where users on SAP systems are manually provisioned in 2026. What should I say in that case about security architecture and the opportunities what persons should do? Of course, everyone will be bored who has already mastered that, but there are still a lot who are still doing that in the on-premise environment in a manual way. What could possibly go wrong?
Well,
user administration rights, I can tell you that. You get the wrong conditions aside. Had that.
Think there's so many more topics to include, I mean to discuss with you, to discuss and open up. We did touch base on a lot of areas on a very high level. We went into depth a little bit, not too much, but at least I liked the conversation. I'd like to thank you for joining us on the podcast, Fred. I know that we'll have you again to discuss really and maybe focus, zoom in on certain areas that are right now affecting or might affect organizations. But again, thank you for joining us, Fred. It was a pleasure to have you, and hopefully we'll see you soon on the podcast or the SAP Cybersecurity Podcast by No Monkey. Thank you, Fred.
Likewise. Thank you very much for having me.